God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
You can build a. It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome. Welcome to the Saucer Pod, and of course, Merry Christmas. We are hovering in the Saucer Pod this evening, high above the blasted and bogarted so-called Holy Land. As in the, is the case with all Holy Lands in the Kali Yuga time zone, it is a steaming morass of enmity, fratricide, awesome avariciousness, and plenty of death, dismemberment, and the ever-popular genocide by interlopers pretending to be the people they are murdering and have displaced. Still, we are here today because there is a general belief set in the minds of the majority of the people associated with the Christian religion that the life of Jesus, the prepubescent years, and the preaching years took place there. Not the missing years, of course. They took place in India and possibly other nearby and not-so-nearby locales. So it is fitting we should be in the neighborhood of supposed events that took place thousands of years ago and have been historically altered and rewritten by vested interests for many, many hundreds of years so as to conform to the teachings, with their preferential dogma, and so as to generate either power or profit for the priest class. Tonight, though, we are not concerned with all of the venal and deluded actions of those who twist scripture to their own ends. Tonight, we walk to talk about Jesus Christ and the legacy he left in the footprints of his passage. The first thing we should notice about the tale of Jesus the Christ is when and what time we celebrate his birth. What do you know? That's the winter solstice, which, of course, is the demarcation point where the days getting shorter turn to the days getting longer, so we would not be misleading if we said that this would symbolize the birth of the light. We would also not be misleading if we pointed out that this has happened before, because the Sun King, here comes the Sun King. Yeah, you know, he appears at regular intervals to set the world straight, seeing as it's gone off course, and it always goes off course when left to its own devices. Human nature without the steady inspiration of the celestial realms would create hell on earth soon enough, and often has for periods of time, in certain places. I'm not going to argue whether Christ was the greatest expression of the teachings of the Sun King. Individual seekers can tailor it to their needs. They were all great as far as I'm concerned. We've learned recently that there is no actual proof of Jesus the Christ historically. There's no mention of such a character. And much like Shakespeare's identity, there are theories that Jesus the Christ was actually someone like Apollonius of Tyana. We don't know, but popular belief, wedded with many a miracle along the way, and the evidence of dramatic changes in so many lives, would seem to indicate that even if the historical Jesus were a myth, real Jesus the Christ does exist. It is most unlikely that mass hysteria would span centuries and continents and be the reason for so many actions and events. Given all I said, Jesus Christ is real as far as I'm concerned. I've never had a Jesus Christ experience, although I have sought him out. Perhaps I did not seek him hard enough. I did have many an experience with Hindu deities and Buddhas, and I certainly felt something from Sufi Islam. I would have to say that I am Eastern in my deeper self, because any time I have anything approaching a vision, it is Oriental in its cast. Anyway, let's talk about Jesus the Christ. Jesus is the man. Christ is the station. Christ consciousness is a state of consciousness. It is a state of one anointed by the Father and a direct partaker of his wisdom and his kingdom everlasting. If you want to be a Christian, you have to follow Christ and walk as he walked, and you can walk right out of here. That should be the single goal of all of us, but it is not. The world is too much with us, apparently. At least it is for many. Far too many have no thought whatsoever about the invisible realm upon which so much of their fate rests. They are lost in another world of gadgets and genitals flashing like neon, demanding attention and acts of gratification, and the fuel needed to send you into a beautiful orbit is squandered in self-abuse and related degeneracies. It's all scripted, folks. It's the time of harvesting of all souls, and there's a war on for them. Far too many of us see no value in something we have only a dim idea of the existence of. That's the magnetic power of the world for you. Yep. Christ laid it all out in very clear terms. He also spoke of forgiveness and turning your life around. He made it a point to say if you believed on him, you would be saved. And what that means is that he would enter into you and abide in you and would therefore convey you to the spiritual realm. By living right in your life, it would become spiritualized. And doors previously hidden because of mortal blindness would appear before you. Jesus Christ has been called the way shower. In his life, he set forth the pattern and directions to take. At the same time, he exemplified the heights of love through the expression of personal sacrifice. Of course, Christ didn't die, and Jesus did. And if he did, it was only for the purpose of demonstration and the experience. It said he descended into hell, had the keys to hell, and returned master of all things. All this was part of a pattern. Every event in the life of Jesus was scripted as a teaching moment, and the whole concept of 12 disciples and so many features in his life, just symbols of great mysteries and enduring archetypes. The mystery school of the Rosicrucians was all about celebrating the higher mysteries of the life of Christ. It's not just a story about the life of a great soul. It's a moment-by-moment living exposition of great truths expressed in the human dynamic. Sorry, I'm not vocally as together as I should be here tonight. I think I've got a frog in my throat that I have failed to step on so far. Christmas and Easter are the high points of this particular system. And, of course, they are each occurring during a seasonal point of transition, one a solstice and the other an equinox. The same ritual and routine has been going on for a long, long time. And as long as the sun is in the sky and as long as it is the source of all life on this planet, it will continue to go on. The teachings of Christ, even after the perversions and twists of gratuitous translations, remains true and meaningful as it was in the beginning. There is one form of teaching for the masses and one form for the initiates. My belief is that the higher teachings occur in the awakened heart once it has come to vibrate the Christ vibration that is seated in its dormancy in every human heart. This is why I believe that the second coming of Christ will also be coming in the human heart, wherever the ground has been prepared for it and found to be fertile ground. This is due to happen in our lifetime, I believe, from what I can see in respect to the severity of both physical and spiritual want as it exists in present times. The worldwide hunger of all sorts is intense and more intense than ever it has been. The bad is bad indeed, and so is the good, which is much diminished in representation because the world at this time is the habitation of a generation of vipers. All materialism tangled in gadgets in the pursuit of conveniences and personal wealth. Gone are the days when people sought satisfaction in simple things and simple ways of life. Traditions are toppling. The infrastructure of institutions standing for hundreds of years and more are crumbling. Why is it so difficult for people to see the extreme danger looming on all sides with the threats of global war, the diminishing supplies of food and water, the increasing possibilities of natural disasters, and a host of attendant troubles? Never have I seen such a bedrock of general social indifference for the conditions at hand. It truly is as if whole nations are sleepwalking. God is present among us as never before. Certainly that is what I hear in my thoughts, and let's be clear about one thing. There is only one God who takes many shapes according to the nations and cultures that he is in, so that he, she may be perceived more clearly in every place. At the same time, the teachings of all other religions as well as Christianity have proliferated around the globe so that access for everything is everywhere. I want to talk a little about Christmas spirit in this hour, or rather 15 minutes. My language seems to become antiquated this evening. Maybe I'm channeling some mind from long gone. Christmas spirit is something we've all heard of, and I think among the listeners here tonight, experienced as well. It may have been a long time for some. These recent years have been grim, but for me, no year goes by when I don't experience it. Just this morning, I was puttering around, making tea for us, as I always do in the morning, and suddenly I looked up and said, "It's here! Christmas spirit is here." I could feel it in my heart, and it was. Well, there's no other way to describe it. It was Christmassy. I even see images of Christmas when I close my eyes. So I know it's the real thing because I experience it. This is how I measure everything, by my experiences or from a sense of realness within that place where I measure such things. No one in my house celebrates Christmas in the way I do. They don't celebrate it at all, actually, nor do they believe in God. And that hasn't changed in the 14 years we've all been together, even with all the supernatural events. None of the blogs or books were even out yet then, though the first book was written. This all came about in those last years, and it has been the most stable and enduring period of my life by far, perhaps three times longer than any similar period. I know the divine put me with this person for all the things that have gone down, and now the divine is sending me off to a new segment. Everything here is very amicable. You would never think a separation were taking place. But come spring, I will be in the wind. The ineffable came into my mind when this was in process and said, "I have other plans for you. Don't concern yourself. Everything will be better than fine. You're going into a new period, and I need you in other places, doing the same things and other things." Strangely enough, even my astrology says all of this and also indicates a parting in relationship status. I'll tell you, life can be strange, and I have often had the sensation that I would be somewhat free in the latter stages of this go-round. Then again, I'm pretty sure I won't be alone, with my work being all about other people. Yes, I can feel the Christmas spirit, and where does it arrive from? It comes out of the collective awareness around the world of the season in swing. Of course, it originates in that place where all high-minded and loving thoughts emerge from, but it's the aggregate sharing of the same feeling that amplifies it into the atmosphere for any willing heart to host. I'm not nominally a Christian. I don't pray to Jesus Christ, but I am aware of the Christ consciousness. And I am certain it can come to anyone who is at the appropriate and necessary degree of receptivity. It's hard work, shaking off the world. The world wants your attention. It wants everyone's attention. It's a screaming billboard of need, whipped into a fury by the collective appetites of this significant mass of population. The fire of terrestrial hunger is noticeable, and the inevitable is canceled out of the equation. That's the point. That is the definite and deliberate point. The idea is that the higher love should be replaced by base hunger, and so it has in many places, but not everywhere. Once the Christmas spirit takes me, it continues to grow because I stoke it like a small woods fire by harboring the thoughts and images that make it happen. Mostly I feel gratitude, a great and abiding gratitude, and I encourage everyone to collectively cultivate gratitude, because if gratitude is a big part of your life, you will be given more and more reasons to feel grateful. Think about it. Why would that not be true? Really, think about it. When I was in London recently during the conference, they played several of Patrick Willis's renditions of my work. One of them was titled "A Place Called Gratitude." It came toward the end of the event. I remember sitting there and suddenly being filled with gratitude listening to it. I could hardly believe that I had been allowed to write it. I nearly burst into tears, but I thought that might be bad form. You can find it online by simply putting the title in any search engine. In Google, the whole first page is only links to it, so there you go. This would be an especially good time to listen to it, and if you don't have any Christmas spirit yet, it might help to ignite it. I had a wonderful time in London. I even thought I might be going back next month, but that seems unlikely now because any visit would have to be combined with something to do performance-wise, and I haven't seen that likelihood. Meanwhile, I host many concerts in my room here every day. I went so long not playing, something like 6 years, that I have actually forgotten the lyrics to a lot of my songs. I've got a lot of catching up to do, and forget about my guitar playing. I guess that's coming back in again now, the music. I wish the universe would make up its mind. I feel like a ping pong ball sometimes, but still, I am very, very grateful. I am grateful for whom I happen not to be as much as for who I am. I'm grateful for that I'm not stinking rich, big-time famous, or any of those things. I'm grateful for so many things. I think the coming personal changes are going to be dramatic indeed. Though I know I seem headed somewhere east of here, I can't shake the notion of Hawaii in my mind. As if by some reversal of fortune, I might suddenly be in a position to return. I know it's probably not wise given the fallout from Fukushima, but I feel protected somehow wherever I am, and I believe I'll be maintained by my employer. I have to get used to the idea that my employer wants the best for me, and especially at this stage of the game, is well disposed towards showing it. A lifetime of adversity makes it hard to shake it off and enter the new horizon. I think that's covered too, though. I keep being told it's all covered, and it doesn't matter what I do or don't do, as it's all going to happen as it's supposed to. I suspect the implication there is that I'm not all that likely to do much different except, hopefully, for better. Oh, well, it is my sincere wish that each and every one of you will experience this Christmas spirit in grateful defiance of the suffocating materialism that surrounds us. I've been watching the NFL today, and the commercials are such a crass and pathetic diversion from the spirit of the moment as it could be, but largely is not. I won't concern myself with that. It's enough that I cover my own comings and goings. It looks like we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week, if there is one, with a New Year's transmission, hopefully somewhat more cohesive than this disjointed affair. Hopefully some amount of what I originally intended got through. So, may the luminous light of God's love for us, each and every one around, surround and inspire and protect you till we are here again, and hopefully beyond that as well. I received a wonderful gift of art from a friend who took all of the ending salutations, which are coming up, of the radio broadcast and made an art piece calendar of it. I'm hoping he'll share the images with those of you who might want a copy to print out. I haven't mentioned his name because I never know if people are okay with that, but, well, maybe next week. That said, hail, Lord Jesus Christ, and Merry Christmas! Many thanks, my gracious Lady Nature and Tara. Bismillah, Irman, Irahim, Hare Krishna. Greetings, my dear friend, Lord Ganesh. My great gratitude, Lord Amitabha. And carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIG Radio Network of Stations.